this God-inspired message from Shofar Christian Church. We trust that you will enjoy today's message and that it will encourage you to grow deeper in your relationship with Christ our Savior.
Welcome to those who perhaps joined us during the worship. I must say, you've missed out if that was you this morning. And once again, it's so great to see all of you. It's great to see how people are coming back from holidays. A couple of new faces, which is really, really exciting. And I hope that you did enjoy the time away. Perhaps a change of scenery, time spent with family, with God, with friends, or for some of us, just by yourself, which can be really awesome as well. And it's great to see as you come back. But I trust that this is a time of rest, and that you could manage to rest well wherever you went. Did you not? Because rest is such an important way in which we can worship God. Right? Did we know that? And how we can be obedient to not God's recommendations, to God's command of us having to rest. Right? I believe sometimes we get so busy with a lot of, thank you, Francois, a lot of important stuff, right? And we sort of become important people, and we cannot step away from the things which we are doing, which is fair enough. I'm sure we are all very important, especially in God's eyes. And we do very important work. But the most important person I know is God. And the most important work I know to be done wherever I look is God's work, right? And I don't know if you know, but God created the universe, which is quite important. You know, that's quite of crucial to why and how we can be here this morning. But even though being so important and Him being important, He rested a full day from doing that. And that's why God has commanded us to rest, not just over holidays, but I trust that this year will be a year where we will be obedient to God's command of us having to rest weekly. And monthly and yearly, and really not just for that, to spend time with everyone we did not get to spend time with, but to spend time with Him. Because even though, guys, this may be very difficult for us to understand, He's the lover of our souls. And if we do not get to spend just alone devotion time with Him, we grow weary and tired, and we start to forget what love is and what life is about. So I hope that you had all of that over the holiday period. If not, and you sit here and you feel tired, then you are at the right place. Hallelujah. Because I believe that this morning, through God's Word and through His presence and through the Holy Spirit already working inside of every one of us, whether you believe in Him or not, whether you're afraid of Him or not, He is working and He's drawing us closer to our Father. And in case, just to do a little bit of expectation management, which God had to come and do in my own life because of various upbringing and churches I used to attend to. I had my view of church, or rather church meetings in general, and how it should look, how it should feel, that in a sense everyone should sit in lines, it should be neat, should be orderly, fair enough. That is an element of it. But I remember, I can't remember which year it was, a couple of years ago, I was sitting in Congo. It's in the middle of Africa, for those who don't know where that is. And we were doing a church service, and there were about as many people as sitting here this morning. But all of a sudden, as we started to sing songs unto God and asking God to come and bring restoration, and to bring deliverance, and to bring healing, just chaos erupted. Right, as people started to manifest demons and people started making noise, and all of a sudden I was shocked, and it was similar to the setup. So I took a couple of steps back, I stopped playing the guitar, and I stepped back and I sat down. I was like, Lord, this is your church. How can this happen in your church? People are screaming and crying, and there's a lot of stuff happening which I didn't understand as much in that time. I was like, Lord, how can you allow this to happen? Look at the enemy. Look at what he's doing. And I don't know how you were in school, but I wasn't the suit. I wasn't the best behaved boy in school. So I don't know if a teacher ever smacked you on the hand with a ruler. But I had, in a sense, that moment with God, as he just came to smack me. He said, no, son, that's not what church is, which you have in your mind. This is church. Where people come together, where they can bear it all in front of me, be vulnerable, be messy. You snort, loop, the trana is looping, deliverance is happening, people are getting healed, because that is what is happening when we come into the presence of God, when we are broken, but when we start to become vulnerable in trusting Him, for Him to speak His life and to breathe His life. And I don't know why to share that, but I had to. So I want to encourage you. Let this be the year where God is God, where we will lay down who we think we are, and allow God to do what He wants to do. Perhaps He wanted to do it 10, 20, 30 years ago. It's never too late. So let this be a year of us getting to know our Father like never before. Let's get messy. In terms of let's get vulnerable. The world teaches us to be orderly, to have a nice haircut. It used to be clean-shaved. It's not the case anymore. But to look and behave in a certain way. God doesn't have a list of behavior, modification, stuff we need to go through. He just says, come to me as you are. And then He will fix us. He will restore us. Amen? Will this be a year of us being vulnerable in the name of Jesus? It's scary, it's frightening, it's messy, but it is amazing. And I trust that we will have those moments which I had in a similar way in the Congo, where God just showed me how He wants His church to look at. Because if our church is orderly and neat every single Sunday with no person coming in to experience the love of Jesus Christ, what are we doing? This meeting is not about ourselves, unfortunately. It is about equipping us so that those outside of this hall can join us. But this morning, God wants to do something unique in us as well. So, I'm very excited for that, and I'm very excited for this new year, and I trust that you are with me as well. Amen? Hallelujah. Let me just quickly pray before I continue. Father, we thank you for your word, which is absolute truth. We thank you for your word, which is you. And I pray that as reading it and as hearing it, that Holy Spirit, you would come and show us our Father. That today, the last thing that will grow is our intellectual knowledge. But that today, we will get to grow in knowing you and your love for us. In the name of Jesus. Amen. So New Year's are all about New Year's resolutions, right? Who has New Year's resolutions for 2016? Two of us out of, I don't know how many, 120 people. So bear with me, Lucy and Diego, just bear with me. This morning, if you might feel in a similar, and this is no offense to you, if you might feel in a similar way as what I believe we have come to feel over the last couple of years about New Year's resolutions, it's irritating, right? We see our friends, perhaps ourselves, we see institutions saying, oh, it's a new year, we're going to go gymming. Oh, it's a new year, I'm going to stop eating chocolates and drinking wine. I don't know why you would do that. But so we do a lot of things to change because we feel that we need to change, we need to be better, we need to look into this model, have a six-pack, whatever it is that we want to have in this year, because if we have it, we'll feel better about ourselves, right? So that is primarily what I have come to see and know what New Year's resolutions are about. So New Year's are about New Year's resolutions. Yes? No. That's not what it's about. It's not what it's about anymore, which I am completely happy about, because you don't go on Facebook anymore and just see all of these, I vow to do all these things, and come 2nd of February, what about those New Year's resolutions, Brie? You know, so those things are an irritation for us. It's great that you guys do it, and I pray that in Jesus' name that you would uphold that which He has laid before you, but I also have a feeling that you might have done that which I want to share. So even though New Year's resolutions have become a big no-no in our societies or in our lives, or an irritation, rather, let's just be honest, there's a very important aspect which I hope to believe that perhaps resolutions was birthed out, which is very important. You see, God is a God who loves us, right? He's a good Father. more than he is a God that does not sit in a cloud wanting to hit us with a stick when we do bad stuff. That's not who God is. He's a father. So if we had the privilege to grow up in a home with spirit-filled, loving parents who wanted to have the absolute best for us, we have a better understanding of what a good father is. And God is even more better. So he wants to guide us, right? He wants to lead us. He wants to love us. And he wants the absolute best for us. Even those silly things which we want, like driving a Mercedes and all of that stuff, there's nothing wrong with it. He knows the desires of our hearts. And trust me that God will do whatever he can to give us the desires of our hearts. The Bible says so. He's a good father. But more important than all of that stuff, whatever he does and speaks and says to us, it's not primarily about what we need to get, attain, or do. It's to draw us closer to him. Because the first thing that a good father does is he wants his son and his daughter to know him, to be with him. So when New Year's come, I've come to see that God loves to give us promises. He loves to guide us. He loves to remind us about things perhaps forgotten, about things perhaps we have deliberately chosen to ignore because it's freaky, about things about himself which he wants us to know or do. So let's remove the resolution word, as I know the connotation it has. But have God come and spoken to us as a church, as his children, about what he wants to do in the year of 2016? What are his promises? What are his words? What are the things he has come to remind us about? So that when we hear those things and do those things, we are one step closer into fulfilling the call that God has on our lives. You know what? Every single one of us, when we come to Christ Jesus, we are sons and daughters. We are legitimate children. We have an heir with Christ Jesus. Know that the kingdom of heaven belongs to us. You know that? Not to God and to Jesus alone. The kingdom of heaven is mine. Why? Because I've inherited it. Did I do something to do it? No, but through the cross of Jesus Christ. So, in case you didn't know that, the kingdom of heaven is yours. And it is yours to bring down to earth where you live. How else can you have the authority to let kingdom come as it is? So it's yours to bring down. So God wants us to know him so that we can understand who it is he has created us to be and called us to be on this earth. So let's stop our reading portion of scripture in 2 Peter from chapter 1, verse 5. It speaks about fruitful growth in the faith. But also for this very reason, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, to virtue knowledge, to knowledge self-control, to self-control perseverance, to perseverance godliness, to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness love. For if these things are yours and abound, you will be neither barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. For he who lacks these things is short-sighted, even to blindness. And he has forgotten that he was cleansed from his old sins. Therefore, brethren, that's all of you, be even more diligent to make your call and election sure. For if you do these things, you will never, that means never, stumble. For so an entrance will be supplied to you abundantly in the everlasting kingdom of our Lord Jesus, our Savior. So there's a lot of good stuff to take out of that portion of Scripture. But what I want us to focus on this morning is God's calling, his election over our lives. See, I don't know what backgrounds all of you come out of. I don't know which churches, I don't know which households, which relationships you come out of, but whatever it is that you might be believing this morning about God's hand, God's favor, and calling upon your life, know this, that God has a calling over your life. God has elected you. He has chosen you to do a specific work for him. See, God doesn't have children, and then two does certain things, and another one, and then there's four or five in the middle we sort of have the typical middle kid syndrome. No, I have nothing to do, right? It doesn't work with God like that, even though, and I can say this very well because I've grown up in a house like this. God doesn't work like that. He has a specific purpose for every single one of us. So it doesn't matter how old you are, how mature you are in your faith, how much sin you have. That's all irrelevant to God's calling upon your life because He has one. And I'm sure He has spoken it over you. You see, we tend to believe due to circumstances or stuff happening in our life that there's an element of God that makes Him a meanie. I mean that we need to sort of figure out where to go next. That we pray and we hear nothing now. Let's just sort of stumble on until we hear. So there's 2, 3, 50 years that go sort of blasé or unknown or unfruitful years because we don't know where to go. Let me tell you this morning, that's not what God is. God is a God who loves us. Therefore, He guides us very clearly and very specifically in terms of where He wants us to walk. God is a God of detail. God is a God of purpose. God is a God who loves us. So He wouldn't give us a calling over life and say, yes, I call you to plant churches in Myanmar. And then say, but figure out how to do it. Right? But I believe sometimes without saying it or voicing it, that is what we believe of our Father. That He wants us to figure a lot of stuff out on our own. Let me just tell you, that's not the truth. I've never read in the Word where God says, figure it out. Have you? And I'm sure all of us collectively have read the Bible collectively. So if no one says, so I believe it's true that the Bible doesn't say, go figure it out. So this morning, God wants to, if we are here not sure of God's calling, election, and purpose of our lives, that He wants to come and remind us of that. Because you see, if we know that which God has called us to do and to be, we will never stumble, right? We've read it. We will never stumble. If you have to go into this year of 2016, which might be our last year, right? Which may be the first year of 5,000 more to come before Jesus comes. We don't know. But we need to live it as if it is our last. Amen? So how can we enter into this year, perhaps not knowing specifically that which God has called us to do, and expect that you will not stumble and fall? See, when you do not know where you are going, that's when you change your direction constantly. That's when you ask for a lot of random advice along the way because you are sort of figuring out what that point is or that sort of a direction is you are going. If we don't have a direction from God, how on this earth do you know which direction to walk into? And I know I'm speaking to a lot of us this morning. It's not to condemn us. It's to excite us because this morning God wants to come and give us that beacon again. He wants to give us that shining star which is shown to the Magi, having to come to Jesus, their gifts at His birth. God guides us and leads us to what is happening so that we can be there at the right time, the right place to fulfill His purpose. If we miss it, we miss it. So God is speaking to every single one of us clearly. So we have eyes to see, we have ears to hear. So let us open our eyes and ears and spirits again this morning to listen to what the Spirit of the Lord is saying. Because He loves every single one of us. And I don't care which season you are in your life, you cannot say this morning it is too late. Because God spoke clearly and said He wants every single one of you this morning to step back into that which He has called us into. Let's listen. I just want to encourage you, as I speak, the Holy Spirit will come and speak to you. And even though it's really weird, really simple, really something way out, just listen to what the Spirit of the Lord is doing. It will feel like in your belly, but it will make its way to your ears and to your brains. And I want to encourage you to listen this morning. God wants to speak to us about what He wants us to do in this year. We are all called to something. It's different for all of us, I'm sure. But we are called to something this year. So let us walk into 2016, focus on that which God has laid in front of us. Amen? Every single one of us want to fulfill God's purpose of our lives in this year. Yes? God is faithful to make that happen. when we are willing to be obedient to His call and His guidance in our lives. I want us to, for a moment, pause this box. Guys, we like boxes. Just pause this box here about our callings. I'm sure that God has for now said what He wanted to say about that. But listen as we go. Another thing I want to come back to is rest. Let's for a moment think about last year. Let's for a moment think of the perhaps 20 years of ministry you've been involved in or serving. How do we feel about that this morning? We feel like, in a very worldly example, like this is your first girlfriend you have happened to fall in love with and you need to touch her hand and it's like butterflies and it's excitement. You want to puke almost. It's so intense. It's insane. It's this immense love. Let me share a short testimony before I continue on this. I was in primary school and there was this girl. I'm sure a very beautiful girl. She was a year younger than me and I remember we went to the movies as our first date. Very young, I know, but hey, we grew up in Joburg. That's what you do. So we went to the movies with a chaperone, her grandfather. So he came to pick us up. I remember I had this, and trust me, it was cool in that time. I will believe no matter what you tell me. Like denim pants and a denim jacket, right? That's what I wore. It's great stuff. I don't know why I remember that. So we went to the movies to go watch George of the Jungle with Brendan Fraser, right? Really stupid movie. And so we went to go watch it, and I just remember this whole movie long, I only wanted to do one thing. I was head over heels over this girl. And I can say her name because I'm sure she remembers me. Almarie Stoop, right? May you never, ever meet her. Bless her. She's amazing. And so the entire movie, all I wanted to do was just, I just wanted to hold her hand. That was like, Lord, if you can take me. When I get that right. Like, life accomplished, goals accomplished, right? And so the whole movie went by. I believe there was like 20 minutes left of the movie. I just built up the courage the whole time just to, because you know the movie sets, like her hand was here, mine was here, just to move 10 centimeters just to go there. It took me an hour to build up the courage. But eventually I had this big bowl of popcorn on my lap. So I took the leap of faith. I really did. So I leaped to grab her hand, so popcorn was flying, popcorn all over us, but we held hands. Irrelevant to where the popcorn was in our hair, in our shoes, it doesn't matter. We sat and I squeezed the life out of her. I was like, yes, I'm a man. Today I'm a man, right? I went to go watch the movie again afterwards because I missed the entire thing. So... do we have, in a sense, that feeling when we come to God who is way more important, bigger, beautiful, amazing than Almarie Stoop? And our first loves and those moments, I'm sure and I hope that you all had those moments of intense awkwardness. If not, just shut up. Do we feel about God that same way? Because there's a lot of stuff going around, especially with marriages, you know. You sort of get over the in love stage and then it becomes love. My opinion about that is the most stupidest thing I've ever heard. Because I see in my marriage, when I stop being in love with my wife, that's when we stagnate. You see, when we are in love, we do flowers, we do candlelight dinner, we drive to whatever pits on the water to go watch the stars. Because we will do everything for that person because we're in love. Why would you want to stop that when you're married? That's stupid. That's when our marriages stagnate. That's when I tend to see that, yes, I need to step it up. Come on, Chrissy, you need to be more in love than the first day you've laid eyes on those blue eyes that she has. I need to be more in love with her today. Stop listening to the word that says, from in love means you get to love. That's nonsense. The two works together. The same works of God. Do you know that? We always tend to refer back to those that first week that we got saved. I remember my first week when I got saved. I was walking distance from my high school. And please don't judge me, okay? I was skipping, you know, like this. I remember I was skipping to school the entire week, to school and back. Even though it wasn't as crappy as days at school, that's what I did to school and back. Why? Because I was in love with God. Was people looking and perhaps laughing at me? Yes, so what? Do people look at you funny when you buy a big bunch of flowers in the store for your wife? Perhaps they do, but let me tell you what. They are convicted because they stopped doing it. So that is how I was in my first week of getting to know God. And I'm sure we all refer back to those in love stage of God. I believe it's a real sad thing when we don't have that in our lives anymore. Because you know what? Then our Christian's faith becomes a Christian job. Just like I believe the world feels that marriage is a job, I need to keep my husband happy. I need to make him food. I need to wash the clothes. I need to pay the bills, says the guys. I need to do all of the things because I'm married. Do those things need to happen? Of course it does. Is it a job? No. If you're in love with your wife, it is a privilege to do those things for her because she's a princess. If we are in love with God, it is a privilege to give Him our lives, our time, to serve, to die on His behalf. Why? Because it's not a job. It's a privilege. Because why? Because He's God. He's the love of our souls. He gave everything for us. And that is a long introduction to just a very simple thing I wanted to say. I believe we sit here looking at last year or the year before, thinking about our ministry, our serving. We sit here and we are hurtful. We are fatigued. We are tired. We don't really have a passion to do whatever it is that you are doing in church or for God anymore. And I believe there's lots of reasons for that. But for me, it really comes back to this. God, you're not in love with Him anymore. Stuff we do has become a job. Even now, we had a function. We fasted for 3 days this past week. I'm hoping that everyone will join in at the next one. Why? Is it fun to leave food? No, it's not. But it's fun to spend more time with God. So we would spend Wednesday night together eating here. Everyone making a mess, partying. It was nice. But I remember just starting to pack away chairs. And I just realized that it is more fun for me to do this now as it was the first time where perhaps I've done it just for someone to see me so that I can be this weird thing we have that you get promoted as a leader. Let me just tell you that's simple. A zone coach is not more important than a small group leader. Pastors are more important than a church member. It's just functions. Different responsibilities to each one, yes, but no one's more important. Why? Because God says we're all equal. So we are all equal. So we sort of do things perhaps to be seen, recognized, to climb the corporate ladder of church, which is, it's not a real thing. For the world it is, but not for God. Because we start looking and seeing things that way as soon as we stop falling in love with God. When it's a mature love, we do jobs. Yes, we do it. It shouldn't. I'm speaking to myself this morning as well. Just get me right. So I believe this morning is primarily two things that God wants to do. He wants you to walk out of this door, not now when we finish, into this year knowing what it is He has in store for you, what your calling is. Boosie, you're going to plant churches. Tinus, you're going to reach 3.25 million people through evangelism. He's giving us specific things which He wants us to do. Why? Because He loves us. That we would walk out into this year being a step closer to that which God has wanted us to do. That's the one thing. And the other thing is God wants to come and give us a rest. You see, even though we do work hard, even though some of us, we might be thrown in jail, some of us, we need to sacrifice more than others. So living for God and following us costs us everything, right? It should. So it's a difficult thing to do. But you know what? In doing those things, we need to do it out of a place of rest. We need to do it out of abiding into the, in the wings of our Father, that we can be like Paul, being in prison, just worshiping. What happens? All the doors open up. And then these days, the matron or the leader of the jail, whatever you call it, and that guy gets saved, his household gets saved, they get baptized. It's crazy. Why? Because it's irrelevant what happened to Paul. He could rest in God. The only way we can go on and on and on and on, because it's not dependent on our physical strength, on the strength of the Holy Spirit. You know, the Holy Spirit cannot be burnt out. We can. Only when we work out of the flesh. So I believe God wants to again just bring a shift in focus in our hearts, so that this year we will again have that passion, that love for the house of God and His calling over our lives, that we will again do whatever we are doing with smiles on our faces, because it's a privilege to serve our Father, our Lord, our Master, our Lover. Just as you cannot stop that sin you are wanting to stop because you keep on focusing on that sin. You know what? You will never stop doing it. I promise you. You cannot overcome your sin by focusing on it. You overcome it by focusing on God and His Word and His promises. He's saying, listen, I have forgiven this sin. Just stop doing it. Repent. Change the way you think. So this morning, let's stop focusing on all the stuff that we know we need to do this year. It's important. But it's not our focus and should never be. Our focus should remain God. In your marriage, in our serving, in our sin, in everything we do, our focus should remain God. Because as soon as we start focusing on what we need to do, we do it the world's way. The world doesn't have a God to focus on. That's why the world is broken and it's dark. That's why we need to be the examples. That's the only way we can be like Jesus, by focusing on God. How did Jesus do what He did? Focused on God. The entire time He was on earth. Never focused on His sin. He never focused on the problem. He was focused on God the whole time. Because it's when we do that, that's when God stirs in us. That butterflies, that popcorn flying, He stirs all of those emotions again. And it's not about a feeling, but you know what? Love does have feelings. We not need to start feeling God again. Our hearts are hardened, that's why we don't feel Him. As the words came, we've perhaps quenched the Spirit, that's why He stopped speaking, that's why we feel like we're just continuing on. I believe this morning God wants to do primarily two things. He wants us to be sure of our callings, so that we will not stumble ever, and in pursuing that, that we will always do it out of a place of rest. So God wants to do two very, very specific things. And another thing on callings, you know, we think so worldly, and it's not our fault, because we are in this world, we watch a lot of TV, listen to a lot of radio, so we aren't bombarded with, I don't know the stats anymore, but it's like 20, 30,000 million, I don't know, something, images a day, which just comes in, and it starts to form doctrines and theologies and stuff we believe in and follow. That's why we need to be planted in the Word of God to hear what He has to say about it. So we sort of have this thing that, yes, here I am, Lord, I give You my heart and my life, and now God speaks to us about a calling, but we want to receive it as step A to Z. This is where we be now, and this and this and then, and that will be, you see the end goal. It's like almost like a racetrack, a circle, where you sort of finish where you started. That's not how it works with God. You never finish where you started. It's the upward call. Right? We fly. It's great. So we have mostly no practical, perhaps, clue of where we are going. But you know what? That doesn't change the direction and the calling towards we are moving. I can see it with my own life. 11 years ago, God spoke to me clearly. He said, this is what I'm calling you towards. That's what I knew 11 years ago. My response was, okay, Lord, I'm going to leave school and I'm going to do this. He's like, no, you're not. Stay in school, please. So I stayed in school, did a lot of stuff. And since knowing which direction and word and sort of a, let's put it, a box God is calling me towards. He has taken me on a lot of pit stops and side roads in order to get there. Because what we want is a McDonald's meal, stop, 3.5 minutes, eat it, feel bloated, regret it, but we do it again tomorrow. That's the lives we are used to. We want it now. We actually wanted it yesterday already. It's a fast-paced life. But God doesn't do it, and I love it. So we get frustrated when we perhaps have heard, this is where God is wanting us to go, but yes, Lord, why can't you just put me there? You know what, why? Because you're not ready. God needs to build your character. He needs to know, you know what, which is very important? He needs to know if he can trust you. Sometimes we don't understand this. And I don't have kids yet, but I believe that parents, they don't trust all of their kids the same. Right? Any parents perhaps can comment on that? Yeah, it's a stout gut. Okay, I'm not going to give him this job. I'm going to give it to the other one. God is a parent. Let's look at the life of Abraham. Let's look at the life of Moses. Look at the life of Jesus. They earned God's trust. Why else did Abraham have to kill Isaac? If he didn't do it, God wouldn't give him his inheritance. So God had to see if you can trust him. The same way God needs to see if you can trust us. Because you know what? Our callings are not just a stupid, mundane thing to do. It's massive. And if God allows us to flow in the giftings and the callings prematurely, you know what will happen to us? It will consume us. We will become proud. We will walk away from God. Because we will become God in our own minds. And you know what? God loves us more then he wants us to do stuff for him. God doesn't need anything from us. Let me just say that so that we really understand this. God does not need us to do anything for him. He's God, firstly. He doesn't need anything. And he won't love us more if we do fulfill our calling, no. But when we do, we would know him more. And that's the purpose of everything. Because as God has taken me on all of these side tracks and pit stops, whatever it is you want to call me, God has broken me at every single one of them. Because I had to learn to die to who I am, to what I believe, to what I want, to what God wants, to what he believes, and to what he expects. Is it challenging? Yes. Death is always challenging. But you know what? When we are resurrected with Christ, Jesus, in heavenly places, we are closer to God. So I know that we get frustrated because we know perhaps what God is calling us towards, but you are on a pit stop. And let me tell you what, that pit stop is only as long as you will allow it to be. How long was the journey that the Israelites had to walk to get to the promised land? 2 weeks. How long did it take? 40 years. That sucks. So much. Why? Because they were obedient, sinful, disgraces towards God. They wanted to do what they wanted to do. Lord, I want to watch TV. I'm not going to go do that now. Now what would you sound like? The Israelites. So we keep on running around the Sinai Mountain. She's not going to come. So we are only taking as long to walk into our callings as long as we allow it to be. You see, because Jesus set the expectation very clear from the word go. He said, in order for you to follow me, you need to die. But this is a process of us following Jesus because we are struggling to die. So God has set up all these pit stops for us to die at in order for us to be and walk as the Son of God in that calling which he has for our lives. I know all of us want to walk in that calling completely, fully. We want to be Jesus in our community where he's placed us. That's his calling on our lives. You, man or woman, you are called to be Jesus. Are you Jesus when you still sin? No, you're not, unfortunately. Are you Jesus when you're disobedient? No, you are not, unfortunately. That is why God is drawing us closer and closer and closer until we have died to be Jesus. So it's those two things that God wants to do. I want to actually read us another portion of scripture to keep all the teachers happy. and me. I love the Word of God. 2 Peter 1, and this is the beginning verses of where we read earlier. So it's from verse 1 to 4, and it says, Simon Peter, a bondservant and apostle of Jesus Christ, to those who have obtained like precious faith by us by the righteousness of our God and Savior Jesus Christ, grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of our God and of Jesus our Lord. As His divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness, through the knowledge of Him who called us by glory and virtue, by which you have been given to us exceedingly great and precious promises, that through these you may be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. You see, Jesus' yoke is easy and His burden is light. He says in Matthew 11:29, take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. You see, what we want to do, there's people that say, you know what, you need to have a peace before doing that. Let me tell you what, that's unbiblical. You don't need to understand and have a peace about everything that God wants to do in your life. Do you think Paul had a peace when God says, you will suffer for my name's sake? Do you think he had peace about doing that? Did Jesus have peace in the Garden of Gethsemane having to be crucified? No, he definitely did not have peace. Go read it. He was begging God not to do it. God is wanting us to move away from intellectually understanding everything He wants us to do by walking out in faith. The Bible says, walk by faith and not by sight. What does that mean? You need to walk where you have not yet walked. You need to walk into things which you are blind to, which you do not understand. Why? Because it's not about your feelings. It's about faith in God. Do we trust Him? Because it's in those moments that God still says, even though you go through the valley of the shadow of death, you know what? That is where God is closest to us. When we go through the valleys, when we're in the wilderness, people tend to believe that's when God stops speaking. No, that's not the wilderness. The wilderness is where God is closest to you. Because He's concerned about His Son going through trials and tribulations. I believe this morning that God wants us to place our trust in Him as this year starts. And we would again have a joy for the things we do, not because I say so, but because we're in love with our Father. I'm sure that, and I hope that many of you will find the love of your lives this year, purely for this example, that you would even more so imitate that feeling you have for that girl or guy and direct it towards God. Because we are so consumed with finding our spouses, we are losing God. We need something to love. Love God. He provides. I promise you. He will never leave you. Your boyfriend will. Your man won't. God will never leave you or forsake you. You will not be married in heaven. But God will be there. Not to make marriage small, trust me, it's the most important thing I've ever done on this earth. But we need to have our priorities straight. So I believe God wants to do those two things.
You move mountains when you speak. You give power to the weak. You raise dead men to their feet. You are strong, Lord.
Thank you for listening to this message from Shofar Christian Church. We believe that it was time well spent establishing God's kingdom and proclaiming His glory in your life. For more information, call us on 012-362-1363 or email us at pretoria@shofaronline.org. You may also wish to browse our website at www.shofaronline.org or find us on facebook.com/shofarpretoria. There is no